Let me begin by asking, are there any chocolate lovers here among us? Oh, there are quite a few hands. You know how sometimes you open a box of assorted chocolate and there are all kinds of flavors and everything in it. And some of us may have a certain favorite. It could be nuts, it could be a Turkish delight, or it could be something else. And there's so many you can choose from, and all individually cater for different tastes and so on. And this morning, I'm not going to talk about chocolate anymore, but just a starter, that in the book of Romans, this passage that we have just heard read out to us, there's so many things that packed into this small passage. And I could have chosen any particular flavor to share with you today. But one particular that stands out for me, it's shown to you in the pew sheet, in the picture there. It really is about the living sacrifice. And the two key words I'm going to talk about today is about mercy. And what's the other one? Worship. That's right. Mercy and worship. So let us commit this time to the Lord, shall we? Father, we thank you. Thank you for drawing us close to you, that you called us into your presence and you called us into your family of God. And right now, Lord, we ask that your Spirit call us into this time of review through the living word of the scriptures. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Roger, for picking the very first song. Somehow, songs sometimes fit together very well with the topics that we're talking about. And when I was singing the song, I pick up those words like mercy and worship. And so thank you. Thank you for choosing that wonderful song. And what a way to start a church service. You know, go for it. Right. So, in this passage, in the book of Romans, this passage, Paul challenges us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Let us look into these two elements of worship and mercy. Now, Paul starts by beginning to say, I appeal to you, therefore. What does this therefore mean that quite often we read in Paul's messages? It is on the basis of what has gone before and in the previous chapters. You know, we often say, da-da-da-da-da, therefore, da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's the link of the word. In the book of Romans, in chapter 1 and 3, Paul deal with sin. That we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And last week, Dara spoke about the glory of God. We have all fallen short of that. Then in chapter 3 and 5, we all need that salvation because of our fallen nature, because of our sin. We need salvation. We need God's grace to bring that salvation to us. Then in chapters 6 to 8, Paul talks about sanctification in the new way of the Spirit. How the Spirit will sanctify our being, our actions and our behavior and all that. Then in chapter 9 to 11, he talks about the sovereignty of God. All-powerful, almighty. He is the master of life. And then chapters 12 to 16 rounds it off talking about service, how we can offer ourselves in God's service, in a sense, be a living sacrifice, sacrificing ourselves in God's service. Alive for God, pleasing to God, that's our Christian fruit bearing, that how we may bear fruit. So in a nutshell then, when God works for us, it is about salvation. When God works in us, it is the sanctification. And when God works through us, it is the service. Service. So that's a simple summary of what God does in our lives, for, in, and through us. But we must begin, the starting point is about the mercy of God. The mercy of God. That's the foundation. God has been merciful to us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith and reconciled to God and have hope of everlasting joy. That's why we come before God to seek His forgiveness every Sunday, every other day maybe, that we ask for reconciliation. We seek God's grace and mercy. So, let's take these two elements, mercy and worship. Therefore, Paul challenges us to lead a life of mercy. We have received the mercy from God. We have received the salvation from God, the grace from God. Does it stop with us? Or should we pass it on to others? Our families, our loved ones, friends, even to strangers. So God given us that, and Paul is asking us to lead a life of mercy, to build our lives on God's mercy. That is the base. Receiving it, passing it on. In Romans chapter 12, if you read that whole chapter, maybe you can do that afterwards, the whole chapter oozes of God's mercy. For example, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, it says, "Show mercy with cheerfulness." Show mercy with cheerfulness. "Let love be genuine, and give to the saints, and bless those who persecute you. Weep with those who weep. Associate with the lowly. Repay no one evil for evil. Never avenge yourself. If your enemy is hungry, feed him." All those phrases I picked from that particular chapter, chapter 12, it talks about mercy, mercy, and mercy. Built our lives on the mercy of God and become merciful. Those I just read out from chapter 12 required us to act, to show, to share the mercy of God through us. Then it talks about asking us to build a life of worship. We need to have a life of mercy, but we also need a life of worship. From this root, or this base, we need to be worshipful. Worshipful. Being mercy has everything to do with being worshipful to God. The two go hand in hand, are very much linked. Before we give ourselves away in mercy to others and showing mercy, we need to first give ourselves away in worship to God. Never let our Christian life drift into a mere social agenda. If God is left out in the things that we do, our mercy will be just mere social agenda. So therefore, whatever churches we do, and we do a lot of social work, we do a lot of things, but we must have God in the things that we do with others. If our good deeds are not expressing the worth of God, then our deeds are not worship. And in the end, will not be merciful. Again, I want us to understand the two are linked together. Worship God, coming from God, the mercy, and therefore we have that mercy to share with others. Making people comfortable or helping them feel good on the way to God or on the way to punishment. And that's where the God part must come in. We must let God to work through all that we do with others. Then there is the spiritual worship, sacrifice to God. We talk about mercy, we talk about being worshipful, and now we come back to the big topic of being a living sacrifice, sacrifice to God. Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So worship is not just simply come and be at church for that 1.5 hour or thereabouts. But rather, worship is all about giving ourselves to God in His service. In the Old Testament language, the worshipper brought a sheep or a bull or a pigeon and sacrificed it on the altar. Now, we don't do that anymore, thank goodness, because I remember reading stuff that a priest would have to do in some of those sacrifices. And I would rather not if I could help it. The slain animal in the Old Testament times, they represented God's willingness to accept a substitute. Those sacrificed animals were substitute for the Passover lamb. But now with Christ is our Passover lamb, and He has been sacrificed for all of us. He made the final sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, and sufficient for sin. And now we don't have to practice those sacrificial acts anymore. How may we understand a lifestyle of daily worship when God asks us, or Paul in this case here, asks us to be a living sacrifice? It means we have to use our bodies, we have to be living, and we have to be holy and acceptable to God. Let me break that down a little further, what it means by bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's a spiritual worship. Our bodies include our mind, our hearts, and our spirit. And we need to be transformed in the renewal of our mind always, regularly. The body is given to us to make visible the beauty of Christ. God wants visible, lived out bodily evidence that our lives are built on His mercy. That's the body part. Then there's a living part. The living part, it is our living that is the act of worship. Let every act of our living body show that Christ is more precious to us than anything else. Let every act of our living body be a death to all that may dishonor God and Christ. Bodies, living, holy. Present a living, holy body to God means give our members, our eyes, our tongues, our hands, and our feet. Give our whole body to do righteousness and not in sin. And the aim of showing mercy is to show God through us, through our body, mind, heart, and spirit. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 18, Paul says, "A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God." In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So that gives us some good understanding there. The last part, acceptable to God. We talk about body, we talk about living, we talk about being holy. And the last one is being acceptable to God. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That is spiritual worship. We are to live a merciful life. It is a call to live a worshipful life. Calling us to live a merciful life means building on the mercy of God in Christ. The aim is that we lead a worshipful life. And the aim of showing mercy is showing God, not through our muscles or curves, but through our merciful behavior. That's our challenge today, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are merciful to us. We thank you that we have received your grace and mercy. Teach us how to be a living sacrifice. Teach us how to practice that with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may show mercy and we worship you with our heart and body and mind. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.